Crying, praying, and sadly looting in Haiti. Let's hope there's not a lot of that still going on. A drone attack in Pakistan said to have started a panic attack among the Mahajin. That's good news as far as I'm concerned. 20 dead, not everybody happy with that. Cindy Sheehan protesting at Dick Cheney's house over the use of drones. Obama gets some help from Clinton and George Bush on Haiti. And stumps for Martha Coakley in the Massachusetts Senate. If you don't know who Martha Coakley is, she's running, of course, for Ted Kennedy's seat. And it's a dead heat when it comes to the Republicans and the Democrats in this one, according to the polls. So how important is Martha Coakley? Very, to the Democrats. They need the 60 to get things through in the Senate. Might not have it. In fact, won't have it if she doesn't get elected on Tuesday in that special election there for the president, who is concerned about Haiti and a bunch of other things, made it a priority to go and stump for her in Massachusetts. All right, that's part of what we're going to be covering on America tonight as we zig and zag all over the place. Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. This is Kate Delaney, of course, at the helm of the show. You know how to get a hold of us here and join in the conversation along the way. We'll give out the digits. Plus, you can always email me at americatonight.net. Very excited as well to have in the next 10 minutes in our next segment a guy named James Holland. You might not know his name, but I guarantee at some point, if you ever in your life flipped through a National Geographic, you probably have seen this guy's photos. An amazing photographer with an incredible tale. Growing up just wanting to look through the lens and snap those pictures for Life magazine, he ends up with a summer break on an internship, photographing for National Geographic, and then he becomes a photographer for that magazine. Boy, as a kid, I can remember thinking of the faraway places, getting that little yellow magazine. You know how the corners were outlined in yellow? And I'm sure we had a pile of them somewhere. If you go to the library today, almost anywhere, they have them in the back stacks. One of the places you might have seen photographs of, sadly, because of the terrible poverty and the shades of over the years of what's happened in that country, probably somewhere, was Haiti. And when I said the Haitians literally are praying every day and crying, of course they're doing that, because what's happened there, the horror there, has certainly united some people in some sense. But still, there are people that are missing. And 5 days later, they found people alive. So you can understand the scramble to make things happen. But the problem, of course, is the government is in a mess. There is just chaos. There really isn't a solid government. The United States has had to step in a very big way. The palace was destroyed. A lot of the people in the parliament there gone, missing, all that stuff. So Port-au-Prince has become more than chaotic, sort of like a living hell. It's probably the best way that I can think of to describe all of the images that I've seen and also in talking to some of the people who have been there and who are actually trying to get there. I know people that will call America Tonight once they get there, but they're having trouble actually getting there. And the Haitian police, of course, struggling to scatter hundreds of stone-throwing looters in the old market area, that downtown area. There was smoke from bonfires, burning uncollected bodies. Oof, gunfire. It could be heard in the distance. You had young guys roaming the streets with bandanas, wielding machetes. Sounds incredibly frightening to me. And, of course, part of the problem is the supplies have been bottlenecked at the U.S. airport, at the U.S.-controlled airport at this point, because of what was going on at the airport, and they couldn't, the FAA had to ground the planes. Now the United States, of course, in charge of that. However, they're trying to speed up the deliveries, and apparently earlier in the day things were flowing a lot smoother, which is very, very, very good news. In the meantime, a lot of people in the U.S. and elsewhere are also giving money to the Red Cross and other organizations. Some famous people, some not famous people are trying to pitch in however they can. George Clooney, who was off in Hollywood at the Golden Globes, is holding some kind of a telethon a couple of days from now. That's a big deal because they think they're going to raise a lot of money there. Wyclef Jean, who of course is from Haiti, has had to weather allegations as to what his organization is really doing with money and some attacks on, what he's done there in that country and where money is being funneled. And he answers that back on a YouTube video. We'll let you hear what he had to say because he's probably musician-wise, and being a Haitian, he's one of the more famous Haitians. There are other athletes and other people, of course, but I think most people, if you know his music, you understand that he is from that area and that he is very big on trying to do whatever he can to get the people straight. Now, they take a few steps backwards in that country, but does it mean rebuilding, and is the scenario in the future actually hard to say now, but is it actually brighter in some cases? I mentioned right here at the get-go, when I was giving you a smattering of things that we were going to talk about, this woman that you would never know her name unless you were a voter in Massachusetts and unless you've been kind of keeping up with this thing, Martha Coakley, because it's a toss-up right now. Tuesday is that special election to fill that Senate seat that was held on for so long by Ted Kennedy, of course, and Martha Coakley does not have all the votes. There's a Republican named Scott Brown, who is the antithesis of Coakley, who is talking to Massachusetts folks and saying, listen, I'm not voting for that health care. I see lots of holes in it. Here's how I feel about the legislation and what I've heard. And she is the opposite of that. So this could really change the political scene in D.C., and it puts at risk it big way Obama's first-term legislative push for health insurance reform, because you need to get the 60 votes. I say this all the time. I'm for reform, but this piece of legislation, to me, is not worth the paper that it's printed on and has been printed on over and over and over again. So she would have an important vote on that bill. Brown would be the guy, because he's not going to vote for it. He's clearly said that, and that's what he's running on. He's not going to vote for it, so he would actually be the guy who would stop it. If Coakley wins, the Democrats can sigh and take a big breath of relief, I guess, because she'll be in the Senate to keep the filibuster-proof majority intact. This is why Obama, of course, was pushing. She wins by a tiny margin. It could hurt the Democratic incumbents, certainly, in other states, but I think they're already aware that there's winds of change come this next election for so many of the House seats anyway, and in the Senate it's a few here and there. And here's the thing: if Brown wins, it would completely end it. I mean, it would jeopardize the insurance legislation big time. If he wins it, it kills the health care. I mean, even Congressman Barney Frank, who's no dummy, realizes that. He said that last week. If he wins, forget it. He knows that this is dead. Wow. Lots at stake in Massachusetts. Just a couple of days away for those voters. All right, coming up next on ATN, the adventure photographer James Holland will join us here on these airwaves to talk about some of the cool places that he's been. Stay with us.
This is an emergency alert. People don't die of H1N1 infection. They die from system-wide intoxication and toxic shock. Doctors call it the cytokine storm following infection and immune hyperstimulation. Vaccines with immune stimulants or toxic drugs chemicalize your body, adding to your death risk. Prevent death and reverse diseases from infections, vaccinations, and drug toxicity. Call this number to get my free special report about the flu and what to do to save lives, maybe even your own. I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Order Zeolite, the world's most powerful broad-spectrum detoxifier, immune system guard, and vaccine cleanse. Avoid vaccinations and drugs. Use Zeolite and OxySilver Hydrosol instead to detox and de-germ your body. Stop the shock of toxicity and preventable deaths. Call 1-888-KO-GERMS. That's 1-888-KO-GERMS. Or visit zeolife.net and oxysilver.net and order your free report and package special.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
This is our dreamer segment on America Tonight. Can you imagine traveling around the world and being around some of the most infamous settings and people and just flat out be awed by some of what you're seeing in front of you while you're taking those photographs? And working for the National Geographic must have been an incredible thing for our next guest. But that's not all he did. I mean, he's got an incredible resume. And his photographs, I have a copy of his book. It's amazing. You would be awed by it as well if it were sitting on your coffee table. I think you wouldn't get any work done. It's called Adventure Photographer. And it makes me want to just become a photographer, although I'm a lousy photographer. So without further ado, James Holland, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm up here in Boston drowning in the political commercials.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Tuesday is D-Day, so to speak, Boston, in Massachusetts, yeah. No kidding.
Hey, you summarized that very well, by the way.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. In reading your bio and then looking at your photographs, I came across one thing I thought was interesting. I know where he got some of that experience. You went to Ohio University for a while, right?
Yes, I was there a couple of years.
I graduated from Ohio University, so go Bobcats.
Oh, yes. Very good.
So I'm looking at, it's hard to summarize your career because you've been everywhere, here and there and in between. You know, in looking at the photographs, I'm looking at the pyramids and some of the subjects that you covered, the Ku Klux Klan, the Nazi Party, just an amazing plethora, wide swath. Certainly you've cut overseas and here in the United States. And this is going to be a tough question, James, but I'm going to throw it at you anyway. So you take all these photographs and a lifetime of doing this and the thrill of being a contract photographer for National Geographic. What was your favorite assignment?
Well, that's hard to say because you know, it's always exciting to travel with the first family or something, because then not everybody's going to tell you, oh, you should have been here last week. The president was here. Because you are there when the president's there. So that's the time to be there. But the things I enjoyed the best, actually, Geographic were a couple of the larger stories, like Libya and North Africa, and also the Amazon. Because both of those things were just filled with lots of mini stories and lots of mini adventures, all of which were fascinating.
Yeah, you mentioned Libya, and apparently, and you talk about this, there's a great story about your Secret Service escort and what happened there and the fact that you almost got into a really hairy situation. What happened?
Oh, he was somebody else. He was working for, he was officially a guide from the government, and he was really with their Secret Service. He was going to keep me out of trouble, but I had to keep him out of trouble. He had to submit interesting habits, like he was selling this homemade medicine that cured everything. He was a snake oil salesman. And wherever we went off to shoot, he would take a trunk full of this medicine, which smelled like Vicks Vapor Rub. And as soon as he ran out, he'd disappear for 2 or 3 days. No word. He just didn't show up. And I wasn't supposed to go out by myself. Of course, I did. I didn't. Much care for this, but and he would do things like, we went to Willis Air Force Base, was still there then, and I went there for a checkup and to find out about some pictures of this bomber that had been lost in the desert that we were going to go visit. And I got a call. I'm sitting there talking to one of the press sergeants, and I get a call, and my guide has gone to the PX. He's trying to buy a case of Scotch whiskey and a U.S. Colonel's uniform. And, of course, you can't buy either one of them.
There you go.
So his real task, I think, was to keep me busy and to separate me from as much of my my expense account as I could.
Yeah, there you go. I think you go from that wild adventure in Libya to, as I mentioned, the Ku Klux Klan. And one of the photos you have, you show that, I was shocked when I saw this. It's Ku Klux Klan Day at a fair in Colorado, and you see your picture's incredible. You see the guys in the hoods, the whole getup, and they're going around on a Ferris wheel. What was that? How did you get that close to the Klan?
Okay. That one, by the way, I didn't take. There are two pictures in there. That's one. Those are both from the 1920s.
Yeah.
And that was the picture I was thinking about when I was driving through Ohio. And I saw this huge billboard and this big cross right next to the interstate highway that said, Ku Klux Klan Rally, public welcome. Of course, I was a student and wanting to be a news photographer, so of course I got off at the next exit and backtracked, and I spent the afternoon and the evening there taking pictures of these guys, and they were trying to recruit people. It was the 100th year of the Klan. And so they put up with me taking my pictures. They just, if they didn't want their face to show, they turned their back or frowned at me. So I mostly took pictures in their hoods and things. It was a little scary, but it was a little disgusting too, because they were basically trying to whitewash their reputation and act like the good old boys at a family picnic. And they had their kids there. They had their kids there and their wives dressed up in Klan outfits, and it was something else.
Pardon me for jumping in, but you talk about the Ku Klux Klan and how it was something else to see the families there. And you've seen, photographed a lot of families wherever you've been. And I'm wondering about the Amazon and what that was like and what you encountered there with the people. So many people have a natural curiosity about the Amazon, and sadly many of us will never get there.
Well, it's a huge area. It's 9 countries. And my first trip there was with Geographic. They were doing one of their television specials. So I went along as the still photographer. So I got a nice overall view of the whole river. We started in Peru, up in the mountains, with Machu Picchu and some of the glaciers, and then we followed it all the way down through the central Brazil and Peru, and visited with some of the Indians, and we didn't get to see the gold miners, which is what I wanted to see the most, but I put that off for another trip, and then we ended up at Belém, which is down by the mouth, and there's an island in the middle of the river there that's as big as Switzerland, so people just have no idea of the size of that place and the numbers of indigenous people that are there. I spent a lot of time with two different Indian tribes, actually three, but in the book I only do the Yagua Indians, which still wear their grass skirts, and they're believed to be the source of the Amazon women warriors that the Spanish conquistadors first saw. And the Trio Indians, which are in Suriname, which is also one of the tributaries of the Amazon. And, you know, it was just amazing being there with a small group of Indians that, you know, you're spending a day in the life of these guys, and they're doing things like making blowguns for their poison darts to go out in the woods and shoot the game up in top of the jungle. It's really quite interesting, but on the other hand, it's not that different than here. It's just a lot. It's I guess you'd call it paradise.
Yeah, paradise, and it's just more primitive to what we have.
Yes,
absolutely, but it's the same thing.
Mosquitoes are much worse too.
No, I bet they're much worse. Absolutely. We're almost out of time, but like I said, the book is just terrific. And did you ever think that you would go from internship to being able to work for National Geographic one day?
Well, I wanted to be a Life magazine photographer from the time I was a kid. And Life was almost gone by the time I got out of school. So I went to work for Geographic, and, you know, after 2 or 3 years, I knew it just wasn't for me. I mean, you're a nomad. And that sounds great until you try it. You know, you don't have any friends and family, and every photographer on the staff seemed to be on his fifth or sixth wife.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a very good situation, except when you're a young man like me and you don't mind going to all the places that the regular people don't want to go to unless they have to.
Gotcha.
So I was a people photographer, too. So Geographic was a great youthful experience, and I'm glad I did it, but I had enough adventure.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Hey, somebody wants to get a copy of your book, James. How can they do it?
Well, the best way is just to go to my website, which is A Bit of Boston Books. And everything is there. You can order whatever you want. Be shipped out free and all that stuff. So.
Oh, that's great. A Bit of Boston Books. Well, it's been a real pleasure. What an eye you have, James. Thanks for hanging late with us here in America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and we'll be listening to your results of the
race
here in 2 days.
What a good setup. We're going to be talking about that next on ATN.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUA Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
I like to see you move right across the floor. I like to do the things you used to holler for more. I like to reggae, but you dance too fast for me. I like to make my feel. You can make me
Have you seen Avatar yet? The blue people, if you haven't, you're one of the only people that haven't seen it because it's massive cha-ching at the box office, and now the awards are starting to come in with a Best Picture nod at the Golden Globes. For what it's worth, that's the foreign press voting, and it's kind of the precursor often to what happens with the Oscars. Do you care about such things? We will talk about it. I haven't seen Avatar. We will talk about it, though, and tell you what the latest is with some of those awards and whatnot from Los Angeles. Because, you know, we like to keep you covered across the board, right? It can't be all of us screaming up and down for 4 hours straight on our soap boxes. Otherwise, nobody's going to be paying attention to us. This is ATN. I am Kate Delaney, and we're going back to the situation in Haiti. Really, all the eyes of the world when I say that. That's not something trite to say. It's very, very true. People are weighing in all over the place, but particularly let's focus on the United States for a second. There are a lot of organizations trying to raise money. There are a lot of people that are concerned about folks who were over there that they still can't find. So far, officially, they're confirming that at least 16 Americans are dead in Haiti, have died, that were there for different reasons with different missions and different organizations. There are some students that are still missing. A group were found, but there are others who haven't been found yet. So there's concerns about that. Because remember, there is this chaos. You figure the earthquake, people someplace else, buildings falling. And it's so bad in trying to set, like, broken legs and stuff. The doctors, out of desperation, are grabbing license plates off of the cars they can find, and they're setting them that way. So you can imagine. You have to think in your head, one of the poorest countries and poorest places that you can possibly imagine. So the lack of water and supplies and the mass burials and the problems with the fact that you've got looters, you still have lots of Americans missing. I mean, this is a humanitarian crisis, probably one of the worst that we've seen in a while. And this is an incredible, incredible tragedy. So Wyclef Jean was there, the musician, and he's known to be have a big heart for the people of Haiti, because of course he is from Haiti and has tried for a long time to raise awareness about things that are happening there and get more help for the people and try to figure a road out for some of the kids that are there, because it's such an awful existence for them. And now his organization is under heavy criticism for where is the money going and being funneled and whatnot. And in the middle of all these bodies and all this rubble and all this horror, because he was so upset over what was being said about his charity, he decided he needed to explain to the world what was going on and how ridiculous and how much is just nonsense about what he's doing. So it sounds maybe a little bit rough, but you got to remember, this is coming out of Haiti. So take a listen.
But I got to tell you, coming back here, after digging kids up and putting them, finding cemeteries for them, and the mug being over flooded, this is what I come back to, an attack on my integrity and my foundation, Yele Haiti. Well, let me tell y'all something. First of all, you could donate to whatever charity you want to. I'm not here to force you to donate to Yele Haiti. But the proof, as we say in America, is in the pudding. So once you see my footage, you judge if you're going to send it to me or not. Now let me tell you, Yele Haiti is an NGO, non-government organization. I'm one of the very few that decided that I'm going to start my own NGO. Why did I decide that I was going to do that? Because in my country of Haiti, I mean, we've had NGOs for, I mean, about 75 years now, you know what I mean? And I just feel that if I started my NGO, I could impact certain projects better. Like, meaning, like, if I feel like something is not getting to the people, I go and get it to the people myself, you know? You know, I work with the United Nations, I work with the World Food Programs, Americare, Red Cross. So, at the end of the day, not only do I denounce all this statement about Wyclef profiting from his own foundation, you know.
All right, and you heard what he said. In his country, the NGOs, non-governmental organizations, are very prevalent, and that's what you do. And he's absolutely right about this. I've seen this in other places as well. And the Yele Haiti is the specific group that he runs. And the funds, he says, will get properly allocated to the right relief folks. There was a report that came out that the foundation only first filed tax returns in August of 2009 after having been incorporated for 12 years. They also reported that several large payouts from the foundation have gone to pay the performer for rent and production services. So you heard again what he said, talking about the natural disaster and saying that that's where the focus is. And he's saddened that people are throwing out these accusations as to, you know, what he's done and where money has been funneled and all that sort of stuff. All right, there is, we had a pastor on our show last week who was just terrific on Thursday. If you listen to that show, you can, if you didn't hear the interview, go to americantonight.net. There's a section called What You Missed, and we post a bunch of different interviews. That one's up there. Pastor Stuart Farley, who spent 25 years in Haiti and had a bunch of missions go down, you know, churches and schools and stuff, and had some people over there, and one of the cooks for the place was killed. They've got a place that you can donate to, and every single dime goes to the people. It goes to the humanitarian side of it, and it's supporthaitinow.com. The three W's, obviously, supporthaitinow.com if you're looking for some other place. Or, of course, the Red Cross. A lot of people don't like to give money to the Red Cross, but because they don't like the top heaviness of the organization. But there are certainly, definitely ways to help the people out there. And, you know, they're just struggling to try to get through this. There's some nonprofits on the ground, and they're dissecting, like I said, the people that are in the most need, and of course the airport situation is a mess, and they're cleaning that up. The general down there is trying to clean that up and make sure that the supplies can get through as fast as possible. They've got dogs on the ground, the dogs that are used to try to find people in these situations. They've got a bunch of those there. There still is kind of a recovery. So while the medication and the food, is the need is just huge. I mean, there was even a banner that I saw that some people were holding up, and it reminded me of the people in a different way, the people on the rooftops. Remember how horrible in Hurricane Katrina? The people on the rooftops waving their hands and hoping that the helicopter would pull them up. And some of the houses had banners across the roof. And I saw a couple of scenes where people had banners, and the banners, one just said, "We need help, period. We need help. Please, please. Help us," because you're talking about finding people, and they found people even the other day underneath a grocery store. So, I mean, that's tremendous. If there's pockets of air somewhere, sometimes people can survive much longer than one would think, right? And that's the kind of stories that are also coming out of Haiti. And you may have seen them if you flipped around on the cable dial at all. Some of the national crews there are there. And they're still finding national news crews, and they're still finding these survivors. Now, that won't go on for much longer, one would think, as we get deeper into this week, because it'll be too long at that point, unless it's just a complete miracle. But you're still, 5 days after that quake, you were still finding people. You had a group of rescuers from Turkey and the U.S., they found three people, even an American woman was a part of this, pulled from that supermarket I mentioned, which gives you hope to think, maybe some others. There was also a team of folks from New York who rescued a 55-year-old man from a four-story building after using a rescue camera to even find him. And an Israeli Defense Forces team said that they had rescued a Haitian government worker from the ruins of a custom office on Saturday over the weekend too, as well. So part of the deal is there's not enough people. There's only so many rescue teams. I guess they've got about 30, somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 or so. And when you're talking about the number of casualties that could shoot up to 150,000 by Friday, the UN Assistant Security General, who is trying to put a face to this whole thing and a body count, says that there's about 13,000 bodies that have been recovered. Sadly, there are still about 300 UN staffers they can't find. 37 are confirmed dead, including two top civilian people at the UN mission in Haiti, because they had a pretty big force there. Since 2004, they've had a lot of people on the ground. And that's pretty awful when you think of that. So Bush and Clinton, I mentioned this at the top, have teamed up for Haiti. That's coming up next. We're going to let you hear what they have to say, talking about charity. And you might catch something in what George W. Bush says, about his relationship with Clinton. That's pretty interesting anyway. Help is on the way to Haiti, and more Americans are reaching out, including two former presidents. That's coming up around the bend.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from 4 levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy 8 flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
And George W. Bush have more in common than getting in line for the early bird special these days. And the current president asked them to do something for Haiti, so they have teamed up. In fact, Bill Clinton talked about Haiti and the situation there and trying to get aid to the people and how awful it's been, but how a cloud, you'll hear this at the tail end of it, how a cloud is starting to lift and how this all came about.
It's frustrating, but I think we're moving on it quickly. I think having the American military, the President Prevost signed an agreement, worked out an agreement with Hillary yesterday morning to turn the airport over. Now, the military working with the UN forces, they still have structure. We lost a lot of UN people. Most of them were non-military. They're setting up distribution centers to safely distribute food and water, and they'll be able to have a widespread availability of medical care. And that, so I think you'll see it get a lot better in a hurry now. There also was an extraordinary amount of time devoted to trying to dig through those buildings to find people living and dead. I think as that effort begins to wrap up, you'll see the distribution of food, medicine, water and basic care get better. I think the security situation will get better. But people have to understand, not only was the city leveled, and others as well, West, the Parliament building was wrecked, the presidential palace was wrecked. As of yesterday, we're still missing parliamentarians, still missing government ministers. I mean, the country, the structure of the country was taken down. And I think the United States has done a good job, and I think the international community has done a good job. The UN structure was taken down. Biggest loss of life in a single day in UN history. So President Bush and I were talking before. People get frustrated by this, but I think if you just, within 2 or 3 days, the thing will be in much better order.
All right, so he says it's going to be much better order now that they've taken over the airport and all that sort of stuff. You've heard that tail end part of that. And obviously there's been frustrations because you have these supplies, but what good does it do to get supplies and try to send them to Haiti if it's not getting to the people? George W. Bush talked about his relationship with Clinton. Here's the deal. The two of them kind of were all over the Sunday swirl. That's what I call the talking heads in television. That are across the board on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox, etc. And Bush mentioned their, you know, was asked about their relationship and how the two of them hooked up. And then, of course, he talks about the importance of the organization, saying that you know your money is going to go to the right place because there's a lot of bogus things that are being set up that are ripping people off, frankly. So here's that.
Well, actually, I used to talk to President Clinton during my presidency, and I then, of course, called upon he and President 41, my dad, to work together on the tsunami and then Katrina. And then when you're both retired, you kind of hang around the retirement center together, and so he and I have become friends, and I look forward to working with him. You know, one of my concerns is that these crises cause people to say, I want to help, and then they start pouring money, and sometimes into organizations that aren't real or perhaps dishonest. And so if people really do want to help, here's an avenue for them. They can look it up on ClintonBushHaitiFund.org to determine how they can help. And then we'll make sure there's transparency and the accounting is good. And more importantly, the programs that the money goes to helps Haiti rebuild.
All right, so, yeah, I think he was pretty sincere in that. Can you imagine? Now, it's interesting, the things you learn just on off the cuff when you're talking about a disaster. Yeah, I called on President Clinton. What do you think those conversations were like? Hey, yeah, can I talk to you, Bill? I didn't realize how brutal this job was. I'm getting massacred in the press. What do I do? I don't want to talk to my dad about this one. What do you think? And, you know, just kind of interesting. It is like a fraternity. And it kind of shows you that the lines between Democrat and Republican, as now as they've become, it's so hardcore, like I say, and we need fresh voices in Washington. It's interesting how afterwards, you know, they can bury the differences or whatever and get together for this Haiti deal. So you heard what Bush said about that particular organization. So there were a lot of those around, and I would think that the two of them stumping around the nation and elsewhere would probably help raise a few bucks anyway. And millions of dollars pouring in is probably a good thing. But again, it's where it's directed. That's why I said probably a good thing. Of course, they're going to need a ton of money for what to rebuild in Haiti, to bury these people, to do, you know, you name it. The kind of water supplies, all the things that you would need in there. But at the same time, this is a perfect, perfect place, a setup, just like Hurricane Katrina, for massive fraud. Yeah. In the meantime, at the top, I mentioned that 16 Americans were confirmed dead so far, but there's still a ton of Americans that are missing. In fact, even the U.S. Embassy in Haiti is saying that at least 70 are unaccounted for at this point. And still, I just checked on that. Still, they are missing a lot of people, and you don't know. I mean, they could have been anywhere. All of a sudden, this earthquake happens, and if you have people that are on humanitarian missions and they're not all in one group, they're going to the store, going to help at a church, going to help at the school, going to help in the different villages. So it's tough to, you know, to try to account for all these people, particularly with still, it's kind of iffy on the whole phone line thing. You can get messages in and out, but it's pretty tough. And then there was the situation, of course, with the airport, too. And, you know, obviously it's probably going to be this way for, well, it's going to be this way for a long time in the rebuilding effort. But in trying to account for people, I think it's still going to go deep into this week by the time they're going to be able to say, okay, pretty much everyone's accounted for that we know of at this point right now. This is, you know, the hammer's down. This is it. This is the end result. Sadly, here's how many people died. Here's where they're from. Here's how many Haitians died. I think that the number game, which is a sad one, is still down the road, deep, deep, deep into next week. Just remember, you can always flip me an email at americatonight.net, americatonight.net. In an effort to keep us all conscious of what's going on with the airlines, speaking of airports, the what's the latest in the airport business and flights? Well, there was a suspected breach in yet another airport, and I'm going to tell you about that in an upcoming hour of ATN. While there's a fresh one happening, the suspect in the JFK security breach has, this is what happened. It was a very jam-packed terminal, and they had to evacuate it after a guy opened a restricted door and set off an alarm, right? So it's the second known security breach in New York at a New York airport already this month. It delayed dozens of flights and caused thousands of headaches for all the travelers who had to leave the terminal and wait for hours as they swept through the building. Now, the guy happens to be of Haitian descent but lives in Brooklyn, so that suddenly raised some eyebrows. He was in Haiti during the earthquake, but he took a flight on Saturday from Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, to Orlando. He caught a connecting flight to New York. And so there's some concerns as to finding this guy. His phone number was unlisted. He's expected to be arraigned, too. Late Sunday, they were expected to arraign him. Don't know if they were able to do that. They were questioning him on Saturday night. As I mentioned about the security breach, it was caused by exiting Terminal 8 and opening a door that was supposed to be used only by airport workers. The other cat who did this in Newark, what was that, 2 weeks ago? Same thing where the planes were delayed. He's got lawyer problems. He's had a lawyer up because, of course, he could be doing some jail time for going past security where the guard wasn't there. He was asleep at the wheel. So, as I mentioned, big blunders, two of them happening in New York City. Not good.
I appreciate your understanding.
Don't think twice. It's understanding that makes it possible for people like us to tolerate a person like yourself.
Thank you.
Don't mention it.